Hi, welcome to the Bucko Fever podcast. I'm your host, Charlie Franson. Hey, thanks for tuning in. I appreciate it. I know it's been a little bit, life busy, but I wanted to, put something out there and, really talk about, silver linings. Like, there are some silver linings with this team. As bad as it is, as it has been, as, approaching 100 losses, there's still some stuff here to be, excited about for the future. Again, rough year, but we all kind of knew that was going to happen. So I want to talk about, what are the glaring holes? Like, what have we learned so far? Where are the areas that they really need to improve, and where's that improvement coming from? Is it going to be outside? Do they have inside help? And in a lot of cases they do, but there's one that's still up in the air in my opinion. So take a look at that. Also talk about those silver linings. What's really stood out, kind of talk, about a couple guys who've really stepped forward and the things that are encouraging. Stay with the positive a little bit, despite, the disappointment. And, even though we knew they were going to be bad, it's still not enjoyable to watch a team lose night in and night out 100 times. Before I get into that, let's have a message from Anchor. So, yeah, the season's winding down. I got another, partial week of baseball here, Pirates baseball anyway. And, we're at the point now where, you're really looking to see any type of silver lining. And I think that, with the Pirates, they do have some. I think that, it's easy to get caught up on the fact that they are probably going to lose 100 games this year. It hasn't been a very fun season. I mean, there were, flashes where, okay, they look like they might be not god-awful. And then just a terrible run. The last couple months have been... it's been hard to watch. The strengths, the offense has been a weak spot all year. It went ice cold. And even when they did score runs, they could, be in ball games and win some games based on the performance of their pitching staff. Whether it be the starting pitching or the pen, that was there. Earlier in the season, this bullpen looked amazing. It looked like they had some really promising arms out there. As the season has started to wind down, and, it's I think a lot of those guys are worn out. I think we're seeing it from, Chase DeYoung. I think we're seeing it from especially Will Crow. Those guys are, they've never had to pitch in the pen like this before. Will Crow has been a starter his entire career until this year, was awesome for the first chunk of the season. And then over the last month or so has really, really struggled. It was encouraging the other day to see him come out and throw a couple innings, and help, keep them in the ball game, against the Reds. So that was at least something. They had some injuries, Yerry De Los Santos, Bednar being out for, essentially 2 months. Those type of things happen. And what the Pirates really need to focus on, and what I think they are focusing on, moving forward is depth. Depth is so important with baseball. And, You know, I think what they have is a lot of depth, but it's a lot of unproven depth. Like, it's a lot of, you know, prospects that are still unproven. So, like, we'll see more of them next year. But, like, outside of those prospects, what can the Pirates do? And Ben Cherington, you know, earlier, was it this week or late last week, said that they need to build onto this major league team. What does that look like? You know, we don't know. You know, is it bargain basement guys that you're bringing in? Is it the continuing, you know, waiver claims? You know, they've got to sign some free agents. And they're not going to pay top dollar. I don't think they're, you know, they're not going to go out and sign like an Aaron Judge or somebody like that. I think where they're looking are, you know, some just solid performers that aren't going to, you know, most likely aren't going to cost a lot. I think that it would be nice. They'll still probably bring in a couple, you know, change of scenery guys. But I think it would be nice for them to actually sign a free agent to a long-term deal. And, like, what does that look like for a team like the Pirates? You know, for me, and the way I look at it, you're going to look at your entire organization and really look where the weak spots are. So where are the Pirates' weak spots? If you look at the Major League team right now, the glaring holes all year have been catcher and first base. Outfield has kind of worked itself out. We've seen some young guys come up and perform well. We've seen them struggle, but that, you know, that's to be expected. You know, I would be okay, I guess, if they signed a veteran outfielder. But again, I don't think that that's really necessarily a need. You know, they have outfielders. You know, next year, you know, you're going to have most likely Brian Reynolds. And then he'll be, you know, flanked by any number of guys, whether it be, you know, Jack Sawinski, Cal Mitchell, Travis Swaggerty, maybe. So, you know, there's guys. They have some guys that they need to continue to look at. Bringing in a veteran bat is only going to take bats away from those guys. That's like what Ben Gamble is doing right now, and Greg Allen was doing. Just taking a bats away from these prospects and these young guys that they need to see develop. You know, there'll be other guys pushing for playing time coming up from AAA next year in the outfield. You know, there's guys like, you look at like Andy Rodriguez. You know, if his bat is for real and translates to the major leagues, which I'm a big fan of Andy Rodriguez. The athleticism, he could play pretty much anywhere. So, like, there you go. You have somebody can play some outfield. He'll also catch, which is, I'll get to that in a second. So, outfield, for me, isn't a huge need. If you can bring in somebody that you can swing back and forth between a couple positions, but they're good, maybe a natural outfielder, I don't know. I don't think you need to add there. But the one place that I think the Pirates really need to look at is first base. The Pirates have they don't have any really strong prospects at first base. You know, they have guys like, you know, Mason Martin, who just had an awful year. you know, really struggled against Triple-A pitching. You can't really bank on him. Malcolm Nunez just, you know, came up to Indy to finish the year. I don't see them going with him to start the year next year. I would be okay with it if he's, you know, if he's producing. I don't think you need to force him in there yet. So first base is somewhere where I would really look, because even after those guys, there's not a whole lot of true first basemen, you know, in the system that are going to be that's close to major league ready. You have guys that you could move around and play there. A guy like maybe a Blake Sable. You know, I liked what they did and how they tried. And I put, can't see them, but I put tried in, you know, air quotes with Bly Madrese. I think a good thing to do maybe is to try that with a guy like Cal Mitchell. Cal Mitchell, I like Cal Mitchell. I think he's got a good bat. Will it develop and be a productive major league bat, a consistently productive major league bat? I don't know. However, I think first base is the best option for him because his arm really doesn't play well in the big leagues. He doesn't have a very strong arm. But if I were the Pirates, I'm going and I'm looking at a guy and I'm giving him a couple-year deal. Load it with option, you know, give him, you know, vesting options, whatever, down the road. A guy like Trey Mancini. Consistent. You know, always hear good things about the guy. I think bringing him in. And the one thing that really, you know, with first base, they did bring in Miguel Andujar. He hasn't done a whole lot yet. I mean, he's hit a little bit in the couple games that he's played. However, is he a real option at first? I don't know. They obviously thought there's a better shot of him, you know, being with this team than Michael Chavis. And Chavis is tough. That's one of those players that fans love, and especially Pittsburgh fans. Like, I always think back, you know, you look at those teams in the 90s, right? You had Bonds and Van Slyke and Bonilla and those superstars, but the rest were just scrappy. And Pittsburgh loves the scrappy guys, like John Wehner. You know, and I think Chavis kind of fell in that. Chavis was fun. Like, it looks like he's been outrighted. You know, is he going to stay? I don't know. But that would be – if he sticks around for next year, I don't necessarily think that we'll never – I don't think we'll never – that we won't see him again. But he wasn't very – overall, didn't have a very good year. He showed what he can do, and it's kind of exactly what he had been doing. Only he got like a good chunk of time, and solid, consistent at bats. Yeah, I mean, Miguel Andujar is the same type of player. Had a fantastic initial showing when he came up with the Yankees, and then faded. And a team like the Yankees, you know, aren't gonna sit and wait for prospects to develop. They don't have to be patient. They can go out and get whoever they want. And I believe they said that on the broadcast the other day. I think maybe Neil Walker kind of brought that up, and I was like, yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. That's a really good point. So I think Andujar stays with the team going into next year. But the nice thing is, if you sign a guy like Trey Mancini, Andujar is just a backup. You can just cut him. trade him if anybody would take him. Obviously, nobody's. Well, they couldn't trade for him, you know, this time because of the deadline had already passed. But, you know, I'm sure the Yankees shopped him. And, but I think a guy like Trey Mancini makes sense. I also think that the Pirates are in a really good position to trade from their depth, right? Look at the positions where you're loaded, and that would be middle infield or those super utility guys. Like, you know, just naming the people, not particularly picking anyone out per se, but, you know, Castro, Bay, Marcano, Castillo, like those type of guys that can play wherever. Kevin Newman, you know, trade from your depth. So you take a guy like a Jiwon Bae, and you flip him to another team for another prospect that's blocked. I like Spencer Horvitz from Toronto, first baseman. It's been pretty consistent. Has some pop. But he's blocked, right? Like, he's, you know, he's probably not going to come up. So, you know, can the Pirates pull him from the Blue Jays for somebody like a Jiwon Bae? Could you get Jiwon Bae and trade him for Horvitz and somebody else? I don't know. But I think that's time. And I think I've talked about this before in my on the podcast, is, you know, that's where the Pirates are right now. They're not necessarily, they're not going to be big buyers, but they're in that position where they can trade prospects for prospects. You could trade lower level guys. You pull like a, let's say like an AJ Burnett type deal, where, you know, you pull a guy who maybe just needs a change of scenery. Maybe, you know, there's a prospect pushing him. Let's take him. I don't know. Those are my thoughts on first base. I think you either trade for a better prospect, get like a Trey Mancini, or I guess go with, I hate putting all your eggs in one basket with, like, Malcolm Nunez, like, all of a sudden being ready. But, you know, do you just go with Andujar or something like that? I don't like the Zach Collins experiment. I think we've seen enough of Zach Collins already. You know, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Again, end of the season, who cares? Give these guys a look, but he ain't hitting. And he hasn't hit in the big leagues. So, you know, first base, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. So the other place where the Pirates really need to, well, I don't say really, they need to address, is catching. Now, with that being said, do they need to sign a veteran to a long-term deal right now? Do they need to go get several veteran catchers? No. You know that they're probably just going to bring back Roberto Perez for 1 year. And I'm not a fan of that. I'm also like, meh. Who cares? You know, because really, who cares? He's most likely going to re-sign. He's most likely going to get hurt. Then what? You know, that's the thing. If you're going to bring back Roberto Perez as your starting catcher, you need to have some other options in play when he goes down. You really can't go forward with what they went forward with this year. You know, Heinemann's not good. Godoy, not good. Zach Collins, not good. And I don't, when he did catch, he has a cannon. But not good. Jason DeLay. Of all the catchers that they have, I would be okay if they went with Jason DeLay as their backup. However, I would also be okay if they DFA'd, Jason DeLay. Basically, you can DFA all these guys. Sign Roberto Perez. You know, bring in a couple minor league free agent guys. This isn't something that you need to address now long term, because if you do, you're going to have a problem. It'll be a good problem, kind of. But you have catching coming, right? And, you know, you have Henry Davis. You have Indy Rodriguez. You have, to a lesser extent, Blake Sable, Carter Binns. Binns has not had a great year, but, he could turn it around, I guess. So you don't have to go crazy there. Like, you don't have to go and sign, a top-of-the-line starting catcher. You still have a young pitching staff. Get somebody who can handle a young pitching staff. I think Roberto Perez did a good job. I think Jason DeLay, does a decent job. Heinemann does an okay job, too. It's just Heinemann just can't hit. Not that DeLay is, pushing for a batting title. He looked good to start, and, the bat's really, really faded. But I'm okay with Jason DeLay as the backup going into next season. They just need to get a better starter. That's why, like, with Roberto Perez, like, I would be totally fine if they went and signed somebody else. I think that, with Roberto Perez, we kind of know what we get. He's going to get hurt. He's going to miss a big chunk of time. That's kind of been his MO. That was the concern going into this season. It's like, that's good, but how many games are we actually going to get out of him? So that's kind of my thoughts on catcher. It's like, you don't want to go in with like Tyler Heinemann and Jason DeLay as your best options. You need to have a better first option. Like, they're not going to go out. They're not going to sign a Wilson Contreras. I don't want Wilson Contreras. The other options out there, like, I'm not going out and signing a Gary Sanchez, or a Tucker, Barnhart, maybe if you get them on a 1-year deal, maybe, but like, there aren't really any great options there. The catching, the free agents on that are known to be on the market for catching are all journeymen. We've already had journeymen. Let's, bring in Roberto Perez. Bring in somebody else. The other option would be to trade for somebody, find a team with a surplus. Bring in someone, because really, Indy Rodriguez. And they even, he can play other places. And they've tried Henry Davis, started giving him chances other places as well. So, the depth comes into play there. You know, build the depth. But they need to do something there. The other areas of need, I would say, you know, look at, you know, maybe another, bring in a starting pitching. The starting, when we're, I'm looking at the bright spots, right? When I'm looking at the silver linings, starting pitching, I would say, has been one of the silver linings for the Pirates. You know, seeing what Mitch Keller has done, you know, being able to turn it around for, you know, the last half of the season. And look pretty good. Like, look like what we wanted Mitch Keller to look like the whole time. I think it's easy with prospects and guys who are highly touted to put them up on a pedestal and just dream that they're going to come in and immediately win a Cy Young. And that's not how it works. Mitch Keller may never win a Cy Young. Probably won't. The chances are, you know, slim that most starting pitchers win a Cy Young award. But I don't think anybody can say that they've been disappointed with what Mitch Keller has done this season, right? They early on, sure. But, it, you know, the last half of the season, it's good stuff. So, you know, I think, you know, he's coming back, anchoring the staff. You know, after that, you got Roncy. You know, Contreras has been good. He's been pretty consistent. I will say that with Contreras, you know, for being young and still developing, like what he's been able to do has been pretty good. I look at him, and one of the things I really like to see when I look at a young pitcher, you know, really getting established in the big leagues, is the whip. You know, his whip for the season is at 1.26. I think under 1.4 for a rookie pitcher is pretty phenomenal. You know, over his last, you know, seven games, that whip is 1.03. So, like, you can't, like, he's been so good and so consistent. I like what we've seen out of him. You know, I think that's a solid, you know, option moving forward. You know, with Keller and Contreras, and you could probably throw Brubaker in there. You know, Brubaker. He's going to give up home runs. When he's on, hopefully it's only a solo shot here and there. When he's off, it's, you know, three run homers. I like what we've seen out of Brubaker this year. I don't think Brubaker is necessarily, like, if you're thinking ahead to when the Pirates contend, in theory, you know, in a couple of years, I don't know if Brubaker's still in that rotation. I think they're probably, hopefully, will be better options at that time, you know, whether it be, you know, Quinn Priester and, you know, maybe Carmen Majinski, although he had kind of an inconsistent year, Cody Bolton, you know, there's other guys that very well could, you know, push a guy like Brubaker off, especially if Brubaker struggles. But see, like with Brubaker, you know, his whip, 1.46, and, you know, he had a really nice run going, you know, over his last several starts. You know, the ERA went up, gave up some runs, but ultimately his walks this year really weren't that bad. You know, especially, you know, early on, he started a little rough, but, you know, he's really come around. I like Brubaker for now, I will say. I think those three guys, you can get in there unless the Pirates get real you know, unless they get overwhelmed by some kind of trade deal or somebody is interested in a guy like a Brubaker, I could see them flipping him. That's, like, I think a stretch, but I don't think it's outside the realms of possibility. And again, I don't know who would actually want him. But I think ultimately those three will be in the rotation. You know, after that, it's kind of a cluster. And if you look at, like, all the pitchers on their 40-man roster, you know, if you just go with those guys, you have Zach Thompson. Zach Thompson had an inconsistent year. Looked very, very good at times. Didn't get a whole lot of run support, you know, when he did start. However, looked really bad at times, too. You know, Bryce Wilson, kind of the same thing as Zach Thompson. You know, Wilson's a little different. Wilson came in and was god awful. You know, there are reports that he was out of shape and, you know, went to AAA and came up and was solid. You know, this outing the other day, I wish they would have let him go for the complete game and then just shut him down. You know, you don't need to start him again. So it's, you know, he's going to be in the running, I think. But, you know, just those two names alone don't really give me a huge sense of confidence. Johan Oviedo, mixed bag from him so far. I think he stays in the mix for a rotation spot. Ultimately, I think he ends up in the pen. And I actually think he plays well in the pen, as opposed to like a Zach Thompson or Bryce Wilson. I don't know that they're necessarily bullpen guys. But, you know, he's going to be in the running. You know, after that, you've got, you know, Luis Ortiz. And I don't necessarily think he's, I mean, it's hard to argue and hard to say that he's not ready, because he's been really good. He's been really good. So, you know, he's going to get a look. And then Peter Solomon is on their 40 man. I think he'll be a guy DFA'd. But that's it. And like those after Brubaker, you know, Ortiz, you know, still young, has looked good. Probably, in my opinion, needs more seasoning in AAA. But you know, you bring in a veteran and I don't know what that looks like. I would be okay if they brought in someone and signed them to, you know, a 2-year deal, something along those lines. I don't know what that looks like. I would be okay if they brought back brought back Jose Quintana on another 1-year deal. But again, you know, I would, with his age and, you know, was this year a fluke? You know, who knows? I think they could do better within the free agent market than a Jose Quintana, if they wanted to, without, you know, shelling out $20 million a year. But you know, you bring in a couple guys, you know, if that's what you want to do. But then, you know, in AAA, you know, really, you know, Cody Bolton, Michael Burrows, Quinn Priester, you know, you have those types of guys that are going to be, you know, knocking on the door. I would like to see Cody Bolton get a call up and maybe appear in some games. I think he needs added to the 40 man. And you look at their pitching staff here. There's several that I would take Cody Bolton over. You know, if you look at the 40-man list, there's you know when you look at the relievers, this is another area. I think they need to sign a veteran reliever, maybe two. You know, you do your standard minor league deals, you know, for depth, but bring in somebody that is an established major league reliever to really help, you know, with that pen. Because right now, going into next season, you know, Manny Benuelos, I'm really on the fence with him. I could go either way. Jeremy Beasley, we haven't even seen. I don't even know what's going on with Beasley. You know, Bednar is safe. You know, Cedarlin struggled, you know, wasn't able to really come back strong from injury or from, you know, Tommy John. Will Crow, I think he's safe. But again, was the first three quarters of the season a fluke? Who knows? That happens. I mean, look, Sam Howard was great. The Pirates always have somebody who looks great and then implodes in the second half of the season. But Will Crow, I think, is safe. Chase Young is safe. I think I really like what he's done this year. I think he's kind of out of gas, but I think he's been good. De Los Santos, you know, probably have him around. Junior Fernandez, I don't know what they're doing with him, to be honest. I think he could probably be a DFA candidate. Holderman, I think, you know, he's definitely going to be in the mix next year. Then you have guys like, you know, Nick Mears. I've always been on the fence with Mears. Yoan Ramirez, no. I'm good. Robert Stevenson, no. Stout, no. Underwood, I'm kind of over Dwayne Underwood. I think he's probably safe. Unless they could find somebody to take him via trade. But I wouldn't be surprised if he was DFA'd. You know, and then, you know, Miguel Yajure, and who knows what they're doing with him. If they're going to, you know, if he's permanent pen or if he's going to get stretched out as to start and be in that mix and that talk for the back end of the rotation next year. But yeah, there's not a whole lot of, I don't have a whole lot of confidence in a lot of those names that I mentioned. But I mean, you know, it's a good starting point with you know, Bednar, Crow, DeYoung, De Los Santos, Holderman. Yeah, and then probably one or two of the people that don't make the rotation, like a Zach Thompson, maybe a Bryce Wilson, Yajure, you know, there. You know, they also have some guys in AAA. You know, Cam Aldred is one guy who I like. I'm surprised he hasn't been given more of a look. But there's, you know, there's others. So if they could just maybe sign a guy there or two, and obviously your standard minor league deals to kind of fill in the holes in Indy. But yeah, so like that's really like where the big glaring holes are. Like if you look at the rest of the team, like I said earlier, silver linings in that starting rotation, Mitch Keller is my number one, you know, silver lining guy. Contreras, same as, you know, up there, but I think, you know, it was nicer, I guess, to see a guy like Mitch Keller bounce back the way he did, and really kind of put it together. Finally, but you know, offensively, I mean, you have to be excited by some of these guys. You know, O'Neill Cruz started hot, got ice cold, but he's made adjustments. He's still going to strike out, but he's not swinging and missing it as much garbage. As he was, you know, he's making better contact. You know, over his last, you know, seven games. He's hitting .333. You know, over the last month, he's .281. So I think O'Neill Cruz is a silver lining. Defense, yeah, still needs some work, but, like, you're going to take that for now until somebody else really pushes, or you find a place somewhere else to play Cruz. You know, Rodolfo Castro has been a little bit of a silver lining. I think, you know, he's been more consistent than I thought he would be. Sawinski, you know, coming up, hitting like he hitting, you know, all the home runs that he did, and then going absolutely ice cold, coming back up, being similar to what he was before his big slump. That's good to see. But yeah, I mean, earlier in the season, you know, the bullpen was a silver lining. It's run out of gas and injuries have, you know, taken its toll. But, I mean, there's – the Pirates have to clear some roster spots. We'll talk about that in future episodes. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, like, what happens over the next couple days, you know, the next, you know, week-ish of games. And see how it plays out. With indie season, you know, ending, I wouldn't be shocked if somebody came up, like an Indy Rodriguez, somebody that they had to add to the 40-man anyway because of, you know, Rule 5. You know, I wouldn't be surprised, you know, he comes up, you know, like a Cody Bolton. I mean, you can easily – there's plenty of guys you can DFA. Like, you could DFA, you know – Zach Collins or Godoy, or you could DFA Hoy Park to clear the 40-man spot. You know, in the with the bullpen, I mean, you could start cutting some of these guys to clear 40-man spots as well. Junior Fernandez, Solomon, even Nick Mears. I think Nick Mears would probably clear waivers at this point. But yeah, if they wanted to bring somebody up, they could. There's plenty here to move. But, you know, we'll see what happens. So that's the episode for today. You know, it'd been a while. With all the couple moves, you know, Greg Allen and Chavis going out and you know, guys coming in, and, you know, really, you know, the end of the season winding down, and it's been a long year. I just felt like I wanted to take a look at, you know, what could be done to make this team better, but look at the guys that have done well, and the silver linings, you know, the guy where you're like, okay, well, that, what we wanted to see this year was development. We knew, everybody knew that the Pirates were not going to be good. I didn't think they'd be 100 loss bad, to be honest. But I'm not shocked. You know, this was a development year. This was a, hey, we've got this first wave of prospects. You know, let's see how things pan out. They were a little, think their decision-making was a little dicey sometimes because they had guys that clearly were not going to be in the future, you know, playing. But you know, season's over. Hopefully, you know, I'll be able to talk more about the good moves over the off season, you know, coming up, and, you know, better things, you know, moving forward in the future. But anyway, you know, check me out on social media, Bucko Fever Pod on Twitter, Bucko Fever Podcast on Facebook, and of course, BuckoFeverPodcast.com. But yeah, hit me up. If you like, give me a follow. I appreciate it. So, again, you know, I appreciate everybody listening, and have a good one.